The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome back to the 750. I am your ORG Ochoa. He is your 75, two-time Super Bowl champion, college football Hall of Famer. Not fresh off of a hole-in-one, but it happened over a week ago, so we should still be talking about it. The one and only Tony Casillas. TC, what up?
I'm doing good, man. Hey, it's a great Tuesday. I'm kind of like thousands of others, probably millions of others. March Madness bracket crashed early on, but I am so glad that the right side of the bracket is all Texas, Houston, and Baylor. So, hey, it's not a bad Tuesday. Although I wanted Arkansas to win because my daughter goes to school there. It's great to see Baylor and Houston in the Final Four.
Yeah, no, I saw you you share some things on social media. You were rooting for the Hogs. Didn't work out. I have a take about the tournament so far. I don't want to say it's been boring. Like I don't want to be ungrateful. You know what I mean? Like we all missed it last year. But I mean, like, have we had any buzzer beaters? I don't think there's been a single game that's ended on a buzzer beater. And I know there was one that went to overtime that which one it was is escaping me right now, but like we haven't had a single buzzer beater of a finish, you know? And like, right. We're about to be at the Final Four, you know what I mean? Like, I don't feel like I'm asking for a lot. Yeah.
Well, I think the Arkansas or Roberts was pretty good game, but I think sure. as you get into the Final Four and the Elite Eight, I think it kind of deciphers, you know, the real contenders. I think the Cinderella stories are tremendous, but I think the teams are in there right now. And you got USC and UCLA from the Pac-12. I guess you could say that, you know, they kind of overachieved, but you know, it really doesn't matter, really, because it's entertainment. It's one of the most remarkable tournaments and that you can have because of what it represents. And just, I think it's raw emotion too. I really, you know, I saw Kelvin Sampson last night. He was a former head coach at OU, so I know Kelvin. I was just, you could just see, man, just the anguish and just the joy because under the pandemic and all this stuff going on to have to go under those circumstances, actually has some fans. I think it's pretty cool, but you know, March Madness in the bracket, I mean, just gives everybody encapsulated and just really gives us something to watch, you know?
Agreed. There was a great UConn Baylor game on the women's side on Monday night as well. So that was a great game. Like that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking, you know, so I suppose I overlooked that one, but I just, you know, I haven't been personally like floored yet, but I will say it feels like March, which is nice. Like we've got the tournament going on. Everybody's talking about their brackets. We just wrapped up the Austin Dell match play, obviously on the PGA Tour. The Valero Texas Open, one of my favorite tournaments on tour for obvious reasons, is this week. And next week, Tony, is the Masters. Like it just, it feels like we were, I've obviously the word robbed is applicable. We were robbed of this experience a year. I mean, think about what our lives were like at this time a year ago. Like we were all still really new into the pandemic and really trying to figure things out.
Yeah. And look, I don't want to dismiss the fact that COVID doesn't exist anymore because it's prevalent. And, you know, I think you should get your vaccine if you have the opportunity since it's open in Texas. But you know, that's your own decision to make. So there is some type of normalcy, and it's going to be opening day soon. Major League Baseball.
Right.
I know here in my part of the woods, we got Globe Life that finally there's going to be fans. I saw my boy Mike Ducey post some stuff on social media. So there's a lot to be hopeful and thankful for right now. But so you mentioned golf, and we'll get into our podcast. But did you see the whole Kevin Na, Dustin Johnson? I think anyone that's played golf, and obviously you play golf like myself, we've played in our little matches. And, you know, to me, I hate to say it, but that's kind of a turd move. And I know rules are rules, but if you guys don't, the people that listen to this, it was like, what, a foot putt. And Kevin Na did not concede that it was good. So Dustin Johnson just went up there nonchalant and just picked it up.
Right.
Ended up losing that hole and ultimately the match. I just thought that was kind of a jerk move.
So for full context, if anybody's not a golf fan, last week's tournament on the PGA Tour is a different format than literally every other tournament. It's not best score wins. You have to win every hole
to match play.
So oftentimes if a player has a putt that's a foot or a very short putt, his opposing player will concede the putt, will say, hey, that's good. You know, you would have made that anyway. You don't have to actually go putt it out. And a lot of that is partially due to speed, because there's so many matches happening on the course at once. They're trying to be as quick as possible. And so Dustin Johnson, who is the number one golfer in the world, for anybody who is unaware, I think that Dustin was technically wrong, because he assumed that Kevin Na was going to concede it. And in this tournament specifically, we have had drama before where players made an assumption about something that was going to be conceded. There was the Sergio Cooch situation. What was it, like 4 years ago?
Yeah.
And so the rule of thumb, as silly as it is, to Tony's point, is you have to wait for your opponent to concede the putt. So Dustin Johnson.
It's good.
Yeah, Dustin Johnson didn't do that. He picked his ball up, and Kevin Na, who was his opponent, went up to him and said, yo, I had not conceded that putt. I'm not going to make a big deal about it. I'm literally making a big deal about it right now, but I just want you to know that I could make an even bigger deal about it, but I'm not going to. I think the only solace you can take, Tony, is that I believe Kevin Na won that match by two. So if DJ had won that hole, Kevin Na still would have won.
Yeah, but I'm just and look, I don't want to just talk about it a whole lot, but I just know it's just one of those it's gamesmanship. It's
sure,
okay,
yeah,
it's good, dude. You know,
there's,
pick it
there's
up.
A level, yeah. Be and cool, be cool, Kevin.
And the formality of it is, and I think it just creates a little dissension. And I think Kevin Na, I think he's been I don't know if he's been involved in some other controversy. It's not like I would say Patrick Reed, but look, I know how that is in my little match play
right.
And I'm like, the guy's been giving me a putt like 6 inches all day long, right?
Right.
And that's nothing. And on the PGA Tour, when there's like millions and dollars at stake and world rankings and FedEx points and everything else that goes along with it, I mean, come on, dude. And I think, the PGA's got so many rules in itself, but – to me, I just think that's more like the gamesmanship. And I don't know exactly how many holes they had after that. I don't know if that closed it out. But to me, I would be pissed off. I would have a little resentment to that dude. Like, dude, I just want to get off the golf course before I break his neck.
So it's funny you bring this up, because I am actually pissed off at Kevin Na. In my local neighborhood where we live, we do a formatted tournament anytime a major happens. So like next week when the Masters happens, Tony and I are about to talk Cowboys, I promise. I think I've told you about this. You build your foursome. We take the top 30 or top 36 golfers in the world. So the top 12 are tier one, the next 12 are tier two, the final 12 are tier three. You get to pick one golfer from each of those three tiers, and you take their Thursday and Friday scores. And then we go play around ourselves. And so we add our score with our handicaps into the mix. And so the low net win. So it's, you know, it's a cool way. Like, you've got some skin in the game. You know, if you've picked Justin Thomas or whatever, you're rooting for him to give you more strokes or whatever. It's a fun little format. But the reason I'm pissed is I picked Kevin Na in one of my tiers at the Players about a month ago. And Kevin Na went 8 over on Thursday and then withdrew. and so, like, he just left me hanging. He actually cost me 8 strokes. I was really pissed off.
A later date when it's kind of slow, which is never slow when you're covering the Cowboys, I'll tell you another Kevin Na story. But one thing I'm not really pissed off is to kind of pivot this thing is what the Cowboys have done in free agency.
So you're like going defense. You're happy. Like, is that too strong of a word, or you're mildly content? Because I think I'm mildly content.
I think I'm content. I think that there is obviously this emphasis for them to really address the defensive side of the ball. And I think the greatest part about free agency, and you know this, RJ, you've been doing this for so long with following the Cowboys, is that it's like add new parts on the car. It's customizing it and making it better and making it look better and hopefully run better. And I think right now the Cowboys are really trying to build that car. And yeah, you know, I think that's where you got to start with. I think obviously Mike McCarthy is listening to someone, maybe that being Dan Quinn, and just really knowing what happened last year, that they got to get better, different positions. So while it may not be these really he's got two players now that were formerly with the Atlanta Falcons. While we don't really know how it's going to fit in now, I think that they've really, you know, when you have a personal relationship with players and you kind of know what they're like, it really just, it adds a little bit more credibility. So I am very, as you mentioned, mildly content. I'm content with what the Cowboys have done this far.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, there wasn't, to be fully clear here, like I think everybody's like, if everybody has one problem, it's that they still don't have like a badass safety, right? Like they have options, but they don't have that true unquestioned, I don't even want to say alpha, but just like obvious best player in the room.
Is going to have to come through the draft, or they're going to have to go out and spend a ton of money for that position.
Right. It's like, you know, those like claw machines, like where you get like stuffed animals or whatever you're talking about,
where you just donate money.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you've won one once or twice for your daughter. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But like, so they have different kinds of them, and sometimes they have like awesome prizes, right? Like they have like an awesome basketball or something. Like that's the version of the safety, right? Like the awesome basketball. You're like, oh, like as the claw's coming up, you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I hooked it, whatever. But then there's like at a movie theater, they have these like, they're not even claws as much as they're like scoops. They look like dustpans, and it's just a bunch of candy. And so it like goes and grabs like, you know, like a Tootsie Roll and like all, like a, just a hodgepodge of candy. And so you get like, you know, 8 little different pieces of candy. That's how they've approached the safety position, right? Like it's just a scoop of stuff. You know what I mean? And I'm fine with that. And I mean, fine in the sense that I'm mildly content. I obviously it could be better. But like to your point, you know, and this is a perfect discussion for the 750 because, you know, you are the consummate Cowboys Falcons hybrid here. But I mean, like, forgive me for not being like over the moon excited that, you know, their two biggest signings have been the most obvious ones possible in that, you know, well, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not like floored by the fact that they went after two of Dan Quinn's former disciples that happened to be on the open market. Like it was incredibly obvious that they were going to do that. And so the fact that they did doesn't really make a difference to me. It actually means that they're predictable. Like the fact that it was so predictable actually takes away from the shine a little bit. I don't know if maybe I'm being picky, but I will say that they have done a great job financially. They don't have any long-term commitments to any of these players. The details for the DeMonte KZ contract came out. We wrote about those on the site. And I mean, it is all low risk. However, Jerry Jones said himself in Dak Prescott's, you know, contract announcement press conference that, you know, typically when he's tried to get a bargain, he's gotten what he's paid for. And so, yeah, cool. Good job. You paid very little money for these options, but there's a reason why you could have all these guys for such low cost.
Yeah, but I think it all comes down to depth. And I don't know. Some of these, and we talk about the hype and signing different guys and with a name that, Clinton Dix, for example, last year, right. Everybody thought, oh, this guy's going to come in and play to that Pro Bowl status he did once before. And I don't know. It just didn't work out. I don't know if it was because of the type of scheme they ran. I don't know. And I think there's a little bit more hype with that. And so every year there's going to be this sense of, optimism.
Right.
And I think, to me, as long as everything around them's better, okay? Like just not the safety position, because I think that's what we lose sight of. It's not just one position. I mean, it's one position in whole. Because you got to have everything around you to build on. You got to have a good linebacker. You got to have a front, obviously the front seven. I mean, those things make a lot of people better. And I think for me, that is what I don't really look in, especially the safety position, because a lot of things have to go hand in hand. And I never saw just a safety, a big difference maker when he didn't have everything around him in front of me better. So while, look, I want to jump up and down and get all excited. I'm just really content with the guys that put around me. They got some depth, and we'll see. And they've lost players too.
Sure.
I mean, this is definitely not going to be the same team that we saw last year. I think on our site in the Blogging the Boys, you saw the difference in last year this year's roster already. It's already changed somewhat, quite a bit.
Well, and I do think it's commendable that they have let the players walk that they have. Obviously those were mistakes that were made once upon a time, but good on them not doubling down. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole again, but the LP Lauduser thing I'm still salty about, but whatever.
We definitely want to have to go down that.
Well, no,
I agree. Funny rabbit hole. We can talk about Tyrone Crawford retiring, which is something we touch on. But
so, well, that has happened. That happened last Wednesday. So it's happened.
But real quick to the safety position, I think that when you look at, the position that they really tried to get depth at, that everyone is always like the fans. Oh, damn, we got to get better at safety. We got to make a change, and we're horrible at that position. And then, I think when you bring some three or four different guys, especially all these guys that have visited, these players have visited them, and you go out and sign them, at least they're somewhat, we can all think that they're listening to what we're saying.
Sure.
So addressing that.
No, I agree. And I
think it's a position. Yeah. You have to find, it's very friendly, salary cap friendly. The guys, if they do develop and come back to some of their years that they played, they're older players. Hey, it's a 1-year deal. I mean, that's you're taking it's a rental for 1 year.
I agree. And I also like the fact that they did not shy away from Keanu Neal. Obviously, there's a lot of talk that he's going to play some weak side linebacker for them. And I like that in that they have not shied away from, creating competition for Jalen, right? Because we've talked a lot about Jalen. We've said a lot of words about him. So I liked it that, I'm not saying that Keanu Neal signing like puts Jalen on notice, but I like that. I like that it ruffles some feathers in that particular capacity. I do want to say, before we talk about Tyrone Crawford, I don't disagree with you. The philosophy that they have used this offseason is fine. It's fair. However, we've seen it not work out for a long time, right? Like if in a vacuum, like if team X was approaching their team this way, it would be fair. But this particular team has gone about free agency this way year after year after year after year. They've been afraid to spend money for about a decade since the Brandon Carr contract, and it has not worked out. So that's the only part where I think people are now like, just, this doesn't make logical sense, but just spend some money so that we can feel like you're doing something different. Because until they do, it looks like it's going to yield the same results. But you mentioned Tyrone Crawford. By the way, that was super awkward how Mike McCarthy just like revealed that. And so I was thinking about this because Mike McCarthy spoke last Wednesday and he said a lot of things, talked about Dan Quinn and Keanu Neal and everybody. He actually got Keanu Neal confused with J'Ron Kearse, by the way. So it was a really funny press conference.
I can think of some other people that get names confused, but I'm not going to get into politics.
Right. But so I was thinking about this, and That press conference last Wednesday at the Star was Mike McCarthy's first in-person speaking engagement since the Combine last year. It was only the second time that he has ever held any sort of press conference at the Star. The only other instance was his introductory press conference when he was named the Cowboys head coach in January of last year. And then I was thinking about this even more. The dude sat out all of the 2019 season. So last Wednesday was literally like the third time he has spoken in front of a room full of actual live people since like December of 2018. So it makes a little bit of sense in my mind. This is maybe a harsh way to put it, for him to be a little bit awkward, right? Like for him to.
It's been a while since he's been in that setting,
right? Like,
and it's good to, like we talked about, like the March Madness and everything in the Masters. You know, there's some type of normalcy because, as you mentioned, 2019 he was out, and last year we didn't have any social distance, and we couldn't ever do anything like that,
right?
But he still looks the same. He still looks like he's
got the beard, though, man.
Yeah, he looks healthy. Which is saying that mildly, but yeah, I just think that now I think it's kind of different because we got so used to all this Zoom calls and everything else, and actually to see him in that setting and really just kind of has some type of routine, because I think these coaches, they want to get back in a routine. And look, even we'll give Mike McCarthy just maybe a slight hall pass.
Of course.
He'd been out for a year, and he's used to it's all this electronically meeting and everything with players. We'll give him the hall pass from last year.
No, I agree.
Because it's him having to be exposed to that his first year back.
I think some people, when they do any sort of public speaking, there are some people who can do it in a really robotic way and be great at it, like Jason Garrett, right? But then there's other people who need to like play off the crowd, and that's Mike McCarthy. Like, he made the joke about when he found out about Dak Prescott's contract, he was in Florida. He said, "Yeah, it's easier to do cartwheels in the sand." The whole room laughed. You know what I'm saying? And like, he needs that. And
now, I would have loved to see TikTok of him doing cartwheels in the sands in Florida. Wouldn't that be that? I mean, he needs to do something like that. I could never envision that, but wouldn't that be just viral to see a dude like him, the way he's built, and, you know, an older guy kind of like me, but his physiology, makeup, and the way he looks, I think that would be just hilarious.
Well,
he'd be pretty athletic at that.
I think he's a funny guy, and I think he needs – the saying I believe about Tinkerbell, you know, the little fairy in Disney, she needs applause to live. Like, that's like the saying people say about her. Mm-hmm. Like, Mike McCarthy needs that applause from the crowd to really be going. And so, like, it was, you know, he hadn't done that in a long time. You know, like, how long had it been since Mike McCarthy had made a room of reporters laugh? You know what I mean? Like, it had been a while. And when you think about it, the last press conference that he did at the Star before last Wednesday was the one in which he said, "Oh yeah, I didn't watch every play. I just said that to get the job." And everybody was like, everybody laughed, but in like a super awkward way. So I'm willing to give the guy and cut the guy some slack. But so to that point, he awkwardly revealed that Tyrone Crawford is retiring. The Cowboys drafted Crawford in the third round in 2012 out of Boise State, the school that they love more than any other one in the country. And I think he had a fine career. I mean, it certainly wasn't special, and that's not like a knock on Tyrone. And I actually think, you know, he's an example of how the Cowboys coaching staff failed a lot of players. I mean, early on it was, okay, Tyrone Crawford's an interior defensive lineman. No, he's an edge rusher. And they could just never decide. And I mean, you tell me, like, could you have floated in and out, you know, early on in your career? I mean, you could have done it, but, you know, that seems like a hard thing to do. Like, even you mentioned like physiological makeup, like who is built besides maybe JJ Watt to constantly float in and out all the time along the line?
And I think that that's what they asked him to do. And he got the big contract in 2015. They got an extension for $45 million, 5-year deal. And as you mentioned, the third round draft pick. And I think that really he was kind of like the utility guy. I mean, they asked him to do a lot of different things. And I think when no one likes to play down inside, and because that's a dog eat world. And I'll just tell you that right now, that's where all the dogs and a lot of bad things happen, in the trenches. As an edge rusher, it's totally different. So I can understand that. And I think for him, I think it had to do more with luck. And I always tell everyone, longevity, and obviously you don't have to play 12 years or multiple years in the National Football League. You get that one contract, and then you just listen, you know, that one extension, and then you just listen to your body. And, you know, he talked about Rod Marinelli. Rod Marinelli is an old school guy, but that's the way he coaches, but that's tough love. And he alluded to or referred to dog years, and I can understand that, because your body, to me, once you start leaving the game, that's when you have more of the issues, and you get to a certain point in your career. I'm like, you know, I played this long, I'm done. But for him to have hip surgery and that piece, that's, I couldn't imagine playing with that type of injury. And so to me, I think that, as I mentioned, he got the money. And he just really wasn't lucky. And I think when they put him, asked him to go down in the trenches, to me, that really knocked some really quality and productive years off his career because of that, because it's such just a grind. Someone always asked me when I played, when I switched, I used to play the nose, and then I moved to the 4-3. And to me, that was a rebirth of my career. But I always refer to that position as a fire hydrant. And what's the dogs like to do when they see a fire hydrant? For some reason, it's like to lift their leg up. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so I just felt like that. So not to, you know, to refer to Tyrone the Crawford's career as that, but if you ask me, how would you rate his career in the NFL? Average, not below average, but average. Yeah. The guy had plays, but he was serviceable. He did what they asked him to do.
Right. And I think he had athletically a lot of promise early on. And I think that the Cowboys have just outthought themselves on certain players like that. I think if he'd been able to devote himself to one position early on in his career, I mean, things might have been different. They made the same mistake with Byron Jones, right? Like early on, is he a safety? Is he a corner? We're going to play him here. We're going to play him there. It's like, no, man. I mean, just find what he's best at and let him do that. And I also think like sometimes the whole like leadership thing gets a little bit, you know, over talked about, but Tyrone really did develop into one of the strongest leaders in the locker room. If you'll recall 3 years ago in 2018, when the Cowboys were looking to clinch the division against the Buccaneers after they'd gotten blown out in Indianapolis the week before, Tyrone got hurt. He was laying on the ground. The entire defense was shook up, and it was a big old deal. So he is somebody that's been a face of them, you know, on the defense. But I mean, and again, I don't want to bag on Tyrone here. I mean, certainly he had a fine career, but he, like, the fact he has, I don't think there's any dispute that he's been a face of the defense for a large part of his career. But to your point, I mean, he had a really average career. And so the fact that, like, the face of your defense was this player who had an average career kind of speaks to who your defense was that entire time. Like, he got drafted in 2012. And in 2013, the Cowboys had one of the worst defenses of all time under Rob Ryan. In 2014, they were fine. They were really lucky in the turnover department. 2015, they actually were fairly solid in 2015, but that was the year Tony Romo got hurt, which obviously ruined everything. 2016, they were okay. But ever since then, it's been a downward trajectory, although they did have the nice bump in 20. I mean, they had some moments, like, you know, they had some nice moments, but Tony, they already gave out his number. I don't know if you saw this. They already, I mean, it's cold world. The Cowboys gave out Tyrone's number to Terrell Basham, and hey, they gave out LP Lattisere's number to Carlos Watkins. What's going on
that's,
here?
There's no loyalty to anyone. That's the way the National Football League, that's the way the football go. And so, and so back to Tyrone, I look at his career, and I know he had 5.5 sacks. You mentioned he came in the league in 2012, right? Mm-hmm. And so I guess he had that great year, a good year. And he only, his best year was 5.5 sacks. And then they extend his contract 5 years and $45 million. And I'm thinking, and I wish I would have played back in the day, but I'm not even going to go with that. But my point is that when you look at that, and I always question, it's like, what? And good for Tyrone, because I had a chance to spend some time, went to a football camp in Mexico. He's a great dude, him along with DeMarcus Lawrence. And so I'm good for him. I'm always pro player. I'm glad he got paid. But I look at what he put up as far as numbers and the value he was to this team. I think it was more like they had more confidence and that they trusted him. And I think sometimes that goes a long way because they give him the money. But when I look at what his production wise, and to validate that, which $45 million for 5 years is not that big a deal in an NFL football league, as I mentioned, I just never understood the reason why, unless that's because he was consistent.
It was all about potential. They paid him based on who they thought he could be.
Well, I think they paid him on what he did that year. And I think potentially they thought that maybe this guy's worth that number. Mm-hmm. Or he could go out in free agency. As we mentioned, we see it every year at free agency. But to his case, I think it was the same circumstance. If he goes out on a open market, he's probably going to get $50 million. So the Cowboys felt like that they had to keep in-house who they drafted. And he ended up playing 9 years. And unfortunately, his career was cut short by injuries, say whether or not he's 31 years old. Yeah, that sounds old in the National Football League. But maybe those 9 years could have been more productive years
We're leaving that in. That ain't going anywhere. That was awesome. Tony dropped his camera. That was so good.
Well, I do a broadcast on my iPhone, and it's so funny because I got a new computer. I inherited my wife's computer, and we're doing, and I'm staying on track, brother. And so I have all these old pictures coming up of us going on vacation with the kids on my screensaver. So sorry about that. But anyway,
that was so funny.
I caught it.
I agree.
Caught the phone.
I remember vividly, I don't think it was a podcast, but I remember watching NFL Network, or maybe it was a podcast, but that off season 6 years ago in 2015, after he got his deal. And I remember Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network's draft analyst, he said that he liked the signing. He said he referred to him as a poor man's Ndamukong Suh. And a lot of people thought that he could be that. Like, a lot of people thought he had the athletic gifts to reach that kind of player mold.
I never heard that one. I would have to disagree with that. Ndamukong Suh, to me, was one of the most ferocious players coming out of college. And I just don't maybe some of the moves, but
right. That's what I'm saying. Like that, if you had to compare him to a player, yeah, like that was the guy he could be most like. I think that was at his peak. That was a fair comparison to draw. Mm-hmm. On the subject of jersey numbers, I just checked, and the Cowboys have a jersey number listed for DeMonte KZ, the newest safety in town. Mm-hmm. What number do you think they gave him? It sucks. I'll tell you that.
28.
No. It's in the 30s. I'll give you that clue.
31.
No. They gave him number 35.
I don't even know. There's already up a 31. I don't have the roster in front of me, right. But
they gave him 35. That sucks. That number sucks for a safety. I'm sorry. That number's terrible.
Well, at least it's not 33. I don't know if they'll ever give 33 away.
Cheeto had 33 his rookie year.
But I'm just saying, at least it's not some legend, like a Ring of Honor Hall of Famer that they gave the number to.
But
I got no problem with 35. That sounds like a safety position. What do you want, a single digit? What do you want?
No, the best safety numbers are, if you're fast, like 32. 32 is a good safety number. I think 37 is a great safety number. So Donovan Wilson's got it. Shout out to your boy, James Washington.
Yeah.
I think that 42. Yeah. 42 is a great safety number.
Yeah. That's a good one.
You know what I mean?
I like 3-0. 3-0.
Well, that's Anthony Brown. But
I'm just saying, if you're going to have, look, as long as it's not, I think it's really cool though. When you look in college football, you got off defensive linemen with number one or zero. I think that's really a good number to be able to have. But, you know, and that's the reason why. Look, when you talk about numbers, you got me off track again, but that's what I do on the 750s. When I came into the National Football League, I wanted my college number 92 because that was the college number I was at OU. And when I got to Atlanta, I'm like, dude, I want number 92. You can't have that. You have to have a number in the 70s. I'm like, what? Mm. And I was like, who has number 92? I don't even think anyone had number 92. And And the equipment manager was kind of a jerk anyways, hated rookies. So that's when I got 75 because of Howie Long. I'm like, okay, give me someone that's great. So that's what, I had no problem with that number. As long as a guy can ball, because that's what we remember. Remember the ones that can ball, that have great careers. Remember those numbers of those guys.
Right. So I don't disagree with any of that. I'm looking
here. Write your own narrative, my man.
I'm looking here at the 1986 Atlanta Falcons roster to see who had number 92.
I can't even think of it. There was a number. There was a 92. And I'm like, well, I'm going to buy it from you. I'm the number one pick on your team, all right? Give me my own damn number.
There was not. I mean, not according to Pro Football Reference.
It was just ridiculous and inexplicable that I could not get number 92, and that's why I ended up wearing 75, which works out.
There were only two players who had numbers in the 90s in general. So one of them was a rookie. Can you name him? He was the 17th overall pick.
Was that Tim Green?
It was. Look at that. What number?
99.
That's right. Okay. The other one.
And that's your...
The other one, your clue is he went to Hawaii.
He went to Hawaii.
He's got a great name to have, like, just a great name to, like, you know, so and so from Hawaii. He was number 96.
Give me a clue. What was his first name?
It starts with a J. I'll give you that.
Oh, man. I should know this.
His initials are JT. It's not Justin Thomas.
Jonathan.
You're on the right track.
Jonathan. Dang.
Johnny. We're looking for Johnny.
Johnny Taylor?
That's right. Look at that. Wow,
look at that, man.
This is a really interesting roster to look at it. Do you know that they have you listed as one of three rookie starters on the Falcons defense? Can you name the other two? I'll give you the clue that speaking of safety, they were both safeties.
Yeah, I know who it is. Oh my gosh. I knew you really got to put me on the spot like this. Can I Google it real quick?
No, but this is the prize for.
Well, I know Tim. I don't know if Tim started or not. God bless him. He got diagnosed with ALS about 4 years ago. I don't know if you knew that. But anyway, prayers for him and his family. Man, I'm drawing a blank. Give me the first name.
So one of them, I don't know why this
what player, college they go to. What the two players that started besides me.
Well, so again, one of them, I don't know why he was listed as a rookie.
He may have been a free agent.
What it seems like it. So one of these players was actually drafted by the Los Angeles Raiders in 1985, the year before, but he's listed as a rookie. So I don't know if he played
long ass time ago.
Well, I don't know if he was playing like in the USFL or something, like his actual true rookie season. So maybe this was his rookie season in the NFL. I'll just go ahead and tell you the one I'm talking about right now is Brett Clark, started at free safety.
I'm impressed. Did Brett go to the University of Nebraska?
He went to He did. Good job there.
Sure. Yeah,
shout out Ndamukong Suh. Yeah, and it makes sense here because he's listed as being 25 years old. So I mean it's hard to be 25 years old and be a rookie. But the other one
He's over 60 now, man. He's older than me. Thank God.
The other one was your starting strong safety. And I'll tell you his college.
Was he number 92?
He was number he was not. He went to Northwestern State, Louisiana.
Oh gosh, that's why I don't remember him. And I'm sorry if I don't.
I think he was an undrafted free agent. So holy crap, you guys started an undrafted free agent at strong safety. What a different time.
Yeah, and that's why we were probably 4-12 that first year. I think it was pretty bad.
It was Robert Moore. That's the player we're looking for here.
Yeah, I remember Robert Moore. Yeah, that was now that you mention it. But
while we're having quiz time, you did also have an offensive rookie who started for the Falcons that season. He was your sixth round pick and
running back, right?
No. And he went to Stephen F. Austin. So right down the street from you. All right. Maybe not right down the street, but, you know, pretty close.
I know Steve. Yeah. That's it. Okay. Offensive.
Wide receiver. It's your clue.
Oh, wide receiver. Man, I'm drawing a blank. And that's what happens. You play that. That's why Tyrone Crawford retired, because after 9 years, he forgets shit or stuff. I'm sorry. When he's my age.
It was.
I'm drawing a blank. Give me the first name. Just give me, at least give me the first name clue.
It starts with the letters FL, their first name.
FL. Floyd. Yes. Floyd, right?
Yes.
God. Man. See, I got the first name, but I can't remember the last name.
Well, what do you mean you got the first name? What other name could start with FL? That was
well, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of different names. At least I got it.
It was Floyd Dixon. That's who it was.
Okay, I remember Floyd Dixon. Yeah, yeah. He was a nice player. I remember that. But you know, that was kind of the difference between the Cowboys franchise and the Atlanta franchise back then. There was this sense of expectation. So at least the Cowboy fans now in 21, hopefully it'll rub off because of Atlanta and some of the whole premise on what they're trying to accomplish, I'd hope. But you just never know. But yeah, that's interesting that after all these years, I would not remember those names of the past.
So three things here as we wrap up. Number one,
I can't remember anything.
No. Number one, I'm pissed that you were not allowed to have number 92, because now defensive tackles can wear number 92. So that sucks that they, you know, prohibited you from having number. But
yeah, I just don't see. Think about that. If a rookie wants to come in, and that's the first thing. Okay, well, what number you want? Well,
you would have really.
I didn't
bought
even
it.
Have the opportunity to buy the number. Like, dude, I'm a second player picked in the draft. Let me buy it for $100. But no one even had it.
Right. That sucks. I mean, but I will say the 750 sounds a lot cooler than the 92.
Yeah, I like 750. It worked out well.
Agreed. But, you know, like, think about it this way. You know, you ended up winning the Super Bowl in 1992. So you still, you know, that number still means something.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, you know what? Hey, nice. I like to have nicely done there, brother.
That's right. So that was thing number one. Thing number two is we have to just make Quiz Time with Tony a thing now. So like every episode,
I think we should.
Every episode, we're going to quiz you about something to do with an old teammate or old roster.
Man,
or
I'm going to quiz
game.
You.
We'll get it done. But so look forward to next week.
Like
everyone, do this.
Let's do that.
My final thing, I'm sure that I've brought this up before. Holy crap. Ken Wisenhunt was y'all's starting tight end. That's awesome. Wow. Who did, could you, I mean, I'm sure you've been asked before, but like, could you tell he was going to be a coach someday?
Yeah, I think he had that type of personality, and just he was very knowledgeable, very smart guy. He went to Georgia Tech, was from that area. But no, I never thought he would be an offensive coordinator. I don't think you ever think about that at the time. But
right.
He definitely was very intuitive of the game. He's a smart guy. He was a reliable dude. He coached was Arizona when
he took him to the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl. And I just remember that I know that guy. I used to play with him. And he's a great guy, too. I mean, he was a tremendous dude. And so I never thought he'd be coaching a team in a Super Bowl.
Same.
I know he wasn't going to play in one. I know he wasn't going to play in one in Atlanta. So that's the closest he was going to get.
Well, shout out to Brett Clark, Robert Moore, Floyd Dixon, Ken Wisenhunt.
The legends of the game, the
mighty 1986 Atlanta Falcons. But screw them for not letting you have number 92. But
that's what I say.
Either way. Okay. Well, next week, another quiz time. Next week, it'll also be Masters week. Tony and I are obviously going to find a way to tie the Masters into the Cowboys. So we'll see what happens, see what moves the Cowboys make. But everybody, we hope you enjoyed it. We'll see you next week. Tony, don't drop your phone again. This was the 750.